Okay, running again.
Okay.
And back after a break for dinner, which
Nearly
was
one
excellent.
hour.
Yes. Okay, so we still have a lot to cover. But I just wanted to get back into the interview with, again, something a bit more personal, this time regarding your oral history experience. Do you remember the first interview that you did, which was probably for the Lucia project?
No, I don't remember the first one. I remember a lot of first ones because all these, I think about five or six interviews were very new for me. And my interviews were with shop stewards. I do not know the real English word, Betriebsräte in German. Shop stewards, I think the trade unionists in Germany, eher Vertrauensmann.
Ombudsman,
Yes, but
or yeah.
it's for all workers of one company. Yeah, it doesn't matter if they are trade union members or not. It's for all.
But
It's a
not,
law. By
yeah.
law, there must be a representative organ for the workers after special
Of a certain size.
a number of
Of
workers
workers, yeah.
per company. I think it starts with about 20 or something like that. Yes, I remember these interviews because I had to make new experiences for me, new. I had special pictures about the German working class in my head. And I was astonished that the differences between the living conditions and the thoughts or the political orientations were not so strict as I thought it before. For instance, between communists and social democrats. You know, in the Weimar Republic there were both parties, communists and social democrats, and the families, just the older members of a family, were more social democrats because they were used to be social democrats from the time when the party was more left until the war, the First World War. And after the war, the Communist Party was founded, and a lot of the younger members were within the family, and they were members of the Communist parties, mostly, not all, but it was a big tendency. Yeah, and I was astonished that the milieus, the different milieus, were not so strict separated. It was very mixed up, and they had a lot of connections to other families with different voters, and so on. Yes, the milieu was nearly the same between social democrats and communists. The main difference was the age, the generation. Yeah, and for me, I had to realize that my questions were led by my pictures about the German working class. And we all had this experience, and we realized that that oral history very often leads to new types, new Muster, was heißt das nochmal?
Patterns.
Patterns. We called it an Enttypisierungsschock we all had. That means we had types in our mind about a special group, about women, about workers, about church members, and so on. And we had to learn that these pictures were wrong. Yeah. And this was a shock of de-typing. De-typing? De-typing experience, can I say it? and we had to look for new types and patterns. And that was really difficult because some of us came from the movement, history workshop movement, and we had special pictures. That was one of our experiences. The other was, it was really hard to see that my interviewees had a lot of attitudes and orientations during the Nazi time, but they were talking about their experience with the 1st of May demonstrations, former by the workers' movement, after 1933, organized by the Nazis. They didn't forbid the 1st of May, they took it over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And nearly all of them didn't want to go to these demonstrations, but they were fearful and they were anxious, and therefore they went to, but tried to leave it as soon as possible. Mm. Yeah, and then they told me a lot of things, how they die Ausreden, was heißen sie was?
Excuses.
How they find excuses.
Excuses.
Excuses. Mm-hmm. To leave the demonstration.
Mm.
Yeah. Nobody had any word, only one word for the terrible changes of the meaning of the 1st of May.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think it's only an example. You can see it in a lot of other questions, that the fundamental rights were not mentioned, and the when they were destroyed. But they mentioned all the time how they came through by special tactics. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Because for them it was very clear that they couldn't do anything against these fundamental changes. Mm. And I had the hope that they had always more in their mind against these changes by the Nazis. And I had to learn that the view of the workers were more against the smaller forms of dictatorships in everyday life,
mm-hmm.
and not so much against the fundamental politics. Yeah.
So initially, it was some sort of a disappointment in the
My opinion, at least, yes.
Mm-hmm. And was it that the working class was not as political or as politicized,
yeah.
as you had imagined?
I think you have to say it. On the one hand, it was a special consent against the Nazis. Yeah, mm-hmm. That was a clear consent, but. If you would get a soup or a new Stiefel, what's that, new boots, by the SR, then you would take it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, talking against the Nazis. Yes, but it was a very poor time, and there were a lot of workers who tried to come through, a little bit like Schweig. Yes. The soldier who tries to came through by playing a role of a rather stupid person. Mm-hmm. Yes, and you never know if he is stupid or if he is very clever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and these forms were new for me. I had an intellectual view on the working class, and I had to realize how their political opinions changed a little bit by their specific way of looking on politics. Politics was sometimes more or less like an enemy, and therefore you have to see, you have to learn that the classical politics are not in the center of the lives of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And I think it's clear in no life the politic, or only within the politicians, it's so central. The people have to come to their money. There were a lot of problems with alcohol. There were the women had to work hard, very hard, for different other aims, and all these questions were central for their life.
Hmm.
Yeah, and the politics was more far away,
mm-hmm.
as I thought it. On the other hand, there was a imagination of politics, but it was more a consent against something, perhaps pro KPD, pro SPD, but it was not so. Yes, not in this expressive way formulated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a very difficult question. On the one hand, very politicized workers, and on the other hand, very careful. Yes, other things were more important, and how this mixture is to describe was one of my first bigger questions to this project.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was not sure, is it our way of looking on history? The third point was that many of the adolescents who were within the Nazi youth organizations, the Hitler Youth, the BDM for the girls, they tried to show me how they had to, for instance, a working class member had to get the money for the HJ group from a boy from a better family. Yeah, and he has to go to the villa of the big house of this family, and had to ask for money for the Hayot, because he was a chief of this younger boy within the Hayot. That means he had a more important function as a working class member than this higher class son, and I couldn't believe it that for him the origin was not so important than his present function, you see. And you can understand it, yes, but you have to learn that there are specific views on history which were very different to mine, mm-hmm. to my views, my mm-hmm. perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it is connected, this question, with the other, which I mentioned before, that the National Socialists had developed forms of being attractive for such adolescents, mm-hmm. Adolescents like this one.
interview is also about their knowledge about the Holocaust.
And yeah, clear, but the knowledge was now there. A little bit different to the same group in the GDR. But in the western part of Germany, there was a big knowledge about the Holocaust, in my opinion. You have to see it was 1980.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. After all these developments in Germany, the same interview project, let's say in the 60s, were not as clear concerning the Holocaust as the later one.
Hmm. But what about knowing at the time, before 1945, seeing concentration camp inmates,
yeah,
or hearing about Auschwitz or other places?
Yeah. If you ask, what did you know about the Holocaust or about the annihilation of Jews or Gypsies, everybody said at the first stage they didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask, did you have a Jewish comrade in the school? Then they said, yes, but I do not know what happened with him. And you ask, didn't you ask where he is now, or after a special time when he was gone, wherever? Then you hear a lot of explanations. And the same if you ask for the pogrom night, we call it, Kristallnacht, Reichskristallnacht, mm-hmm, when Jewish synagogues were fired,
burned down.
A lot of people saw it, even the younger ones saw it and were very impressed. And just in the Ruhr region, you feel that there was a special anxiousness, yeah, because it was too radical, yeah, for many of our interviews. And you have to know that just the Jewish traders, Kaufleute,
yeah, trades people,
were cheaper,
mm-hmm,
and therefore there was not such a big anti-Semitism in this region as, for instance, here in my region, on the landscape, Protestantic. The Nazis had not been so successful in 1933 in the elections in these regions where Roman Catholic and socialist tendencies came together.
Hmm.
Yeah, just in these working class movements, the Roman Catholics in the beginning of the Nazi time were not so anti-Semitic, and the others as well, neither. When I asked other peoples just in the north, yeah, it was different.
Hmm.
Then you hear a lot about people with this star, with this yellow star, as Jews, and so on. And after a while, you come to the interpretation that this question, did you know anything about the Holocaust, is not the best question, because it doesn't show the development from knowing a lot about anti-Semitic activities of the Nazis. That's one step, and in many steps growing. And the question if they know something about the Vernichtungslager,
the death camps.
Mm. And they always think you ask for the death camps by these questions. What did you know about the Holocaust? Yeah. Then they say no, because they didn't know anything about the death camps, or only Gerüchte.
Rumors.
Rumors, genau. Rumors. And I think it's better to ask for this development, for these smaller steps, and then you can have the thesis, like me, that there was a development in barbarization. I called it in German Barbarisierung. Barbarization, can I say it? More and more brutal, yes? And the end of all, the death camps were so brutal for them that they say, no, they do not know anything. But with all these other steps, which were brutal enough, yes, they knew a lot. Yeah, that's a question of experience of interviews, I think. I know some people who ask always only this question. Then they say, oh, the people lie. They do not know anything about the Holocaust. No, but if you ask for these steps where the end was the where the death camps and the annihilation, then you see that the people do not say, yes, I know something about these anti-Semitic actions. They knew about these. But then you find more about this barbarization of a society, and then you can see that they knew a lot about all these questions of anti-Semitic Nazi activities. And after the war, they were always confronted with the question of the death camps, and therefore the answer like that. But that's always the worst form to ask for such a critical point in the German history. You have to come step by step close to the center of this question.
Yeah. So you basically, in the interview, you have to follow their lives again, step by step.
Step by step, rather than asking them
to do sort of a retrospective analysis.
Yes.
To go through lives.
And that's just for these questions. It's very important to find forms to come closer and closer to this question for the Holocaust.